This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. This week is the start of the NFL owners' meetings, getting underway on Monday. This is the week of proposed NFL rule changes, all sorts of things being discussed this week in Orlando. Something that's been bandied about quite a bit is the alteration of extra points. Been talk about the expansion of playoffs from 12 to 14 teams or more. There's been discussion about expanding rosters, all sorts of things. Instant replay, we'll find out more in the week. There's something like 17 rule changes, proposed rule changes. They'll all be discussed. Maybe not all take place. Maybe not all be voted upon. But they'll all be discussed. And we'll find out later this week what new rule changes there are in the NFL. Also, that happens this week, you know, NFL teams are represented pretty much by every owner, general manager, head coach in Orlando, Florida this week. They convene just about late April, early May, every year around this time. The Packers reportedly will not be represented by general manager Ted Thompson, with a report from ESPNWisconsin.com saying he will be staying in Green Bay attending to a personal matter, while not getting into specifics what that personal matter is. Probably not a big deal. Packers still represented by President Mark Murphy down in Orlando. Head coach Mike McCarthy is there. Mike McCarthy will meet with reporters later in the week. Usually there's a lot that comes from that meeting with the media every year, as he talks for just about an entire hour. Asked all sorts of questions. That'll be happening later in the week. NFL has lots of announcements during the NFL owners meeting. One that impacts Packers fans rather particularly is the announcement of compensatory draft choices. The Packers should expect to get two of them this year from losing last year in free agency, Greg Jennings and Eric Walden. The Packers will find out exactly what round their comp picks will come from. I'm saying that the Packers will probably get a fourth and a sixth. If anything, I might err upwards on either of them, perhaps as high as a third for losing Greg Jennings, perhaps as high as a fifth for losing Eric Walden. But we'll find out exactly sometime this week. The NFL does not publish an exact agenda telling you time or date these announcements take place, so we kind of play it by ear. But you can be sure social media will explode, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. You're just following along here at Cheesehead TV. Anything applicable to the Packers will be have it here as well. The NFL announces usually at like key dates on their calendar. The official schedule announcement kind of takes place sometime in April usually, but they do things like they announce like the opening kickoff weekend, the key games that are on national TV, especially that Thursday night game. And it's been speculated by some people that the Packers could perhaps be in contention to play the Seattle Seahawks, the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, opening weekend in Seattle, that Thursday night game that's, you know, been on NBC at least the past few years. So that will happen sometime this week, the announcement of such. Whether or not the Packers will actually take part, I'm not sure. I think that they'd perhaps like to get the San Francisco 49ers involved in that game, seeing as they're defending champions and And you know, San Francisco's been a very good team, or pardon me, their division opponents, and San Francisco's been a very good team over the past few years. So I think that's maybe perhaps a more likely scenario, but we will see. So all those things happened in the NFL owners' meetings this week. The one thing we really got to get to today on Railbird Central, a discussion of, is the end of the Marshall Newhouse era and what that means for the Green Bay Packers. Announced on Friday after we aired our last episode of Railbird Central, Marshall Newhouse signs with the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals themselves announced the roster transaction. There has been no published reports, to my knowledge, of the terms of the deal, you know, whether it be years or dollar amount, guaranteed money, anything like that. So still kind of waiting on that to come out sometime this week. But we do know for sure Marshall Newhouse will not be in a Green Bay Packers uniform in 2014, signing with the Cincinnati Bengals, reunited with the former quarterback he used to protect the blind side of at TCU in his college days, Andy Dalton. And from what I know, the Cincinnati Bengals kind of had a need for a backup tackle. If I remember right, and Andre Smith is one of them, they kind of have their starters set in place there in Cincinnati, and kind of looking for a backup there, kind of looking at Marshall Newhouse as a swing guy who has experiences playing both sides of the football. And you know, it didn't appear as if the Packers made much of an effort to re-sign Newhouse, and I can't blame them. I mean, if we kind of look briefly here at Newhouse's career in Green Bay in review, he started off as a rookie during the Super Bowl season and spent the entire season on the roster. But I remember during his rookie year, I don't think Marshall Newhouse was active a single game. One of those players, you know, always one of those game day inactive guys that, you know, they just didn't feel comfortable putting him out there his first year in the NFL. And I think that's okay for a rookie, for a team to do that. You hope it never happens for more than 1 year with that kind of young, undeveloped player. He starts to play 2011, 2012. Marshall Newhouse, actually, because of injury, when Chad Clifton goes down to injury, Marshall Newhouse becomes the Packers' starting left tackle for pretty much all of 2011 and 2012. And, you know, does an okay, I shouldn't even say okay, he does a subpar job. Now, there were things that Marshall Newhouse did okay, and I think he improved over time, especially in 2012. That, you know, he always had good feet. He moved well for a left tackle in the NFL. You know, he was able many times to, you know, mirror opposing pass rushers and get in their way a lot of times. Not that he did great by any means. Marshall Newhouse gave up too many sacks, you know, compared to his brethren in the NFL, compared to other starting caliber left tackles, gave up way too many sacks, did not have much of an impact whatsoever in the run game, and that was what he was weakest at probably overall, and probably part of the reason you saw the Packers' run game actually improve in 2013 when Marshall Newhouse was largely out of the lineup. They got more aggressive guys in there. Marshall Newhouse just never had that bulldog mentality, that get after it, that nastiness. You never saw that from him, and that was one of his shortcomings and one of the reasons the Packers are moving on. Now, on the positive side of the ledger, Marshall Newhouse, as we've talked about many times on this show, he was always healthy and available for a team that has so many problems with injuries as the Packers have had over the past few years. You could always rely, at least, on Marshall Newhouse to be out there, to know the offense. It's not like he was ever a problem with making mental mistakes, you know, having an inordinate amount of penalties, just a guy who knew the offense and you know, was never going to screw up out there. He maybe never got the job done like you wanted, but that's, you know, that's what teams can like in a player like Marshall Newhouse, and probably what the Cincinnati Bengals liked about him in signing him. He goes there, and you know, if he's their backup tackle, you know, I'm not sure any team should be looking at Marshall Newhouse as a starting caliber player. But if they go into a season with him as a backup swing tackle, a guy who can play both left side and right side, you know he's going to be available. You know he's going to be healthy. You know he's smart. You know he's going to know the offense. There are worse things to you know, like about Marshall Newhouse. There are worse things that, you know, that he could offer a team than those things. But I mean, you know, are they the best things ever? Just the fact that he's healthy and out there. I mean, I could be healthy and out there and offer very little. But, you know, anyway, Marshall Newhouse, the Packers moving on, not appearing to make much of an effort to sign him. You know, and what do the Packers do now? We don't know the terms of the deal. We don't know if they're going to get that comp pick in 2015, a year from now. That's kind of, you know, that's still playing out. You know, the Packers, the players the Packers lose in free agency this year, you don't get the compensation next year. You know, right now the Packers are setting themselves up to get draft choices, more draft choices again. They lost James Jones. They lost Evan Dietrich Smith. You know, they'll more than likely look like they're going to get draft choices for losing those guys. Teams that lose more unrestricted free agents than they sign get compensatory draft choices. And, you know, as we've mentioned here before, Julius Peppers, LaTroy Guyon do not count in that equation, that formula, because they were cut by their previous team. So technically, they're not unrestricted free agents. So Packers kind of savvy in the way they handle that there. We, you know, but, you know, players have to sign for minimum amount of money to qualify for this formula as well. Players that simply sign for like the NFL minimum salary don't qualify as counting toward this. So Marshall Newhouse would have to sign for, you know, some amount of money, probably over $1 million a year. I don't know what the cutoff is. I think it changes from year to year. It could depend how many free agents in the NFL sign to other teams. So there's a lot, you know, kind of in limbo yet that we don't know if the Packers will get compensation or not. But we might have a better idea if we knew the terms of the deal. Maybe that'll be announced this week. We'll be waiting for that to hear that. Anyway, so where do the Packers go kind of with their backup, you know, offensive line situation here? For the most part, Marshall Newhouse was a tackle. He's played right side. He's played left side. If we look at 2013, you know, he kind of went into training camp as the starter at right tackle and lost the job to Don Barclay, who for the most part held down the fort at right tackle most of the season with Brian Bulaga out and injured. Now, Marshall Newhouse, you know, I think he got two starts in 2013. He actually played a little bit of guard when injuries struck and they needed him there. For the most part, though, you know, backed up Don Barclay at right tackle, played a little bit there, and when he played, simply did not look good. Marshall Newhouse, you know, looking rather inept. And I don't know if the demotion had anything to do with it. You know, all of a sudden he goes from starter to backup, and whether that kind of destroys his confidence, I'm sure it doesn't help. But Marshall Nuos just did not have a good 2013 season. That, too, contributing to him leaving Green Bay. Packers not putting up much of an effort to resign him. And so he moves on. And what do the Packers do now? I think, you know, what we're going to see, and head coach Mike McCarthy very likely will announce it this week. What, you know, how are these starters going to line up? You know, who's at least going to get the first crack at starting? And I think what you're going to see is he's going to leave David Bakhtiari alone after a promising rookie season. By all means, that David Bakhtiari wasn't perfect as a rookie, but I think most people can say promising if he improves. I think they leave him alone. There's room for growth there with David Bakhtiari. They move Brian Bulaga back to his old spot at right tackle, kind of starting out as the starter. You know, he still has to come back from his injury. You know, the Packers were going to make Brian Bulaga their left tackle starter before he got injured last season, you know, gets hurt and, you know, blows those plans up. But I think they put him back at right tackle, and those are your starting guys right there. Left tackle Bakhtiari, right tackle Brian Bulaga. Then you kind of hope Derek Sherrod comes back from his own injury. That's been, you know, a long time coming, but, no doubt a devastating injury, and anybody who suffered it would take a long time to recover from that broken fibula and tibia in his leg. You can understand why it's taken a long time. Now, I mean, I certainly think Derek Sherrod enters a make-or-break season here. If he can't be, play more than six plays an entire season this year, something's wrong. But, I think if he goes through an entire offseason, an entire training camp, and we at least start to see him, you know, in action in the preseason, he's out there every game, he's playing, you know, that would be a huge step in the right direction. You know, certainly if Derek Sherrod could be 100% recovered, and who knows, maybe, you know, kind of 2.5 seasons later, maybe he's finally getting to the point where he's nearing 100% or at least 99. Maybe he could be a factor there, but, I think if he is healthy, he's at least, you know, he replaces Marshall Nuos as a swing backup, and who wouldn't want that, right? Who wouldn't want a former first-round draft choice as your swing tackle backup? You know, I think that's a pretty ideal scenario. Either David Bakhtiari or Brian Bulaga goes down, you can insert Derek Sherrod. He's been around long enough now where he knows the offense, and hopefully they don't miss a beat. Again, assuming Derek Sherrod still has to, you know, recover and come back, and the jury's still out on whether he can do that to his fullest extent. But if he does, would be a great situation for the Green Bay Packers. Kind of leaving Don Barclay as the odd man out a little bit. I think we saw Don Barclay was also a subpar starter in the NFL, at least at right tackle. There's things to like and dislike about Don Barclay. He just doesn't seem he has the quickness on the edge to be able to handle those fast pass rushers. I don't see that. You do see that scrappiness, that bulldog mentality from him. But that only gets you so far if your talent level just simply, you know, isn't up to snuff. So with Don Barclay, maybe it's a case where he is more suited to the interior to guard, something like that. I know the Packers tried him out at center during training camp last year, and it didn't really work out. He just really, you know, had a hard time with the center quarterback exchange more than anything. I don't know, maybe they give it another go around, and if you spend an entire offseason working on that, it probably improves. If his blocking isn't a problem, you know, it's simply the exchange. Well, it seems like that's something you could work on and master, you know, in due time. Whether the Packers go back to that or not, I have no clue. But maybe Don Barclay is a guard, and maybe he could be very successful, even as a starter at guard. Not that, you know, there's room for him in the starting lineup right now with, you know, Josh Sitton and TJ Lang holding down the fort there, as it would appear. But, you know, whether it's a backup, whether it's a starter, whether it's a spot starter, and even, you know, hey, if Don Barclay is your fourth string tackle, if it takes two injuries for him to be in the starting lineup as a tackle, well, okay, I would feel pretty comfortable with Don Barclay as my fourth string tackle on an NFL team, any NFL team. I think that would be a good situation. So I don't think he's going anywhere. You know, I think the Packers like Don Barclay as kind of a versatile backup, a guy who could play almost any position on the offensive line. In case of emergency, wherever it is, and you know he's got the experience now to rely upon. Hopefully, there's still a little room for growth in his body as well, and he just keeps improving. I think he sticks around, but you know, is that going to preclude the Packers from addressing tackle in the NFL draft? Probably not. Like I say, with 9 draft picks, there almost isn't a position the Packers will address at some point. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him take some offensive linemen, and maybe it's a case very much like years past where the Packers just take an offensive lineman they view as versatile and find out where he fits in once he gets to the NFL. You know, they seem to do that quite a bit with guys where they just see a good offensive lineman and they'll say, hey, we'll worry about his position later. Let's just get him in here, see where he fits. And especially if you don't need that player as a starter right now, and any offensive lineman they add at this point in the year, you know, the Packers aren't looking at that guy as a starter, you know, no matter what round they grab him in. You know, they don't need a guy to step into the starting lineup. They can afford to develop any offensive lineman they draft, figure out where he fits. And it probably doesn't take them too long to figure out. Once you go through the offseason by training camp, you know, you're basically training them at, you know, maybe 2 positions. You know, it's nice if they can have a third, but I think if you train them at 2 positions, you're pretty much set. And who knows, with Evan Dietrich Smith being gone now, maybe that player the Packers take as an offensive lineman is going to be a true center. They certainly need a starter there. But, you know, J.C. Treader will get a chance. Any rookie they draft will get a chance. Who knows, maybe they'll even go back to Don Barclay like we said here. I don't really know what the plan's going to be at center. But I'm sure, kind of, you know, coming full circle here, I imagine that is something that Mike McCarthy will be asked about and will address this week. You know, what is the plan at center? I guess I anticipate Mike McCarthy saying J.C. Treader will get, you know, the first shot. You know, he's going to be the default starter with the first string. I don't know. Maybe he'll say it's an open competition and they'll just be rotating guys. I don't really know. Even if they say they're rotating, everybody kind of looks into it and who's getting the first snap, you know, and I think that'll be J.C. Treader, but, you know, I have no clue. I have really no clue. We've thrown out there in the past, maybe TJ Lang is that guy. You know, he played a little bit of center last year in an emergency situations where, you know, Evan Dietrich Smith got hurt and TJ Lang had to step over. And he, I thought, held his own for not playing a whole lot there. I know we even posted in the microblog here at Cheesehead TV, TJ Lang kind of balked at playing center when asked about it on Twitter by a fan. He gave a succinct no or nope or something like that if there's plans to be the center. But I also looked to the situation where I don't think many people saw coming where the Packers wanted to flip-flop the left and right side of the lines last year. You know, Josh Sitton from right guard to left guard, Brian Bulaga with the same thing at tackle. Josh Sitton, I remember kind of, you know, in interviews, he said the Packers, they thought they were stupid for doing it at first. But, you know, after it actually happens and it works out, kind of, you know, said they're geniuses later on, you know, could be the same situation where, you know, maybe a player box that just, you know, everybody is resistant to change for, to an extent. You just kind of get comfortable in a routine and you think you're doing well, but, you know, sometimes change is good. And maybe that's what happens with TJ Lang. Like I said, these are things Mike McCarthy are going to address this week at the NFL's owners' meetings. He'll be asked all sorts of things. I guarantee you, you know, he meets with it. This happens every year, so I know how things are going to play out. Mike McCarthy meets with the media for an entire hour. He's going to be asked about every uncertainty on the team. And the offensive line will be a big talking point, kind of, you know, the talking point for this show here. He's going to be asked about who's the starters at right and left tackle. He's going to be asked about what they're going to do at the center position. He'll be asked if players are going to move around, things like that. But, I mean, all the uncertainty on the team. He's going to have to address kind of what's up here on the defensive line in the front seven with Julius Peppers. You know, I mean, change is afoot here. With the Packers, you know, they added Julius Peppers. They added a guy who's traditionally been a 4-3 defensive end who lines up in a 3-point stance. You know, that guy doesn't, you know, fit into the mold of what the Packers have done in the past. So, you know, how are things going to change? How are they going to utilize Julius Peppers? It doesn't make sense to me to line him up at 3-4 defensive end, even though it looks like he might be that prototype size they want. I just don't see him battling in the trenches two-gapping at defensive end. I don't see it happening. You know, so what is his role going to be? Is he strictly coming on the field in pass rush situations where it's second and long, third and long, the Packers are in their nickel and dime, and he's just getting after the passer? But is it going to come from a 3-point stance? Is it going to come from a 2-point stance? Are the Packers going to run these hybrid situations, this kind of, 4-3, 3-4 blend that the Seahawks seem to have, you know, kind of made famous this past season? And a big part of the reason for their success, is he going to play the elephant defensive end position? Is Nick Perry going to play the elephant defensive end position? How are all these guys going to fit in? I mean, the possibilities here are endless. If you catch my drift, I mean, I'm throwing out a lot of questions here. I don't know the answer to, and I don't know how forthcoming Mike McCarthy's going to be about exact situations. You know, they coaches like to leave something to the imagination that opponents still have to game plan for. But, you know, he's got to address these things to an extent. I mean, they're just, you know, major, major change here that's taking place in Green Bay. This is no small matter, the signing of Julius Peppers here. So, going to have to address it to an extent. I mean, you know, how are all these, you know, guys who typically line up right along the line of scrimmage, from Julius Peppers to Nick Perry to Mike Neal to Dayton Jones to B.J. Raji to Clay Matthews to Mike Daniels to, you know, who else am I missing? Josh Boyd. You know, I just listed like 7-8 players. Those guys can't all line up along the defensive line. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out? What are the, you know, what is the rotation going to be? What are these, who's going to be part of what packages? There is so much to address and to learn about this Packers defense and how it's going to look this year, and how the additions of Julius Peppers will, you know, how did they address needs, and how will that play into what the Packers do in the NFL draft? Are they strictly going to address safety now in the draft, where there's still this gaping hole inside linebacker? Do they go on the offensive side and get a wide receiver or tight end, another target for Aaron Rodgers? Lots and lots of things to talk about, not just at the NFL owners meetings, but things we'll be talking about in the whole run-up to the NFL draft here as the offseason kind of takes shape and continues to take shape for the next month plus. What are we, probably a little over a month away till the NFL draft? You know, something like, you know, it's in early May. We're not even April yet. So lots of time to talk about how the Packers will look here in 2014. So it'll be interesting. But, folks, that's going to do it for a Monday morning edition of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Thank you so much for joining me here this morning on a Monday morning. We go live 8:30 a.m. Central Time every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But there's so many other ways you can, take part in our content or, indulge in our content here at Cheesehead TV, from, you know, watching it on demand later or checking our podcast out on iTunes. However you do it, we're glad to have you. But if you watch live, do it at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Cannon in the Heavens by Lotus and Lyrics Born on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. Son, you've had it every time that I'm rapping, baby. Coming to the mattress is a cannibal about it. Devouring you average motherfuckers like a panther does a rabbit, does a cabbage. I'm a beast, a mammoth, I'm a freak, a savage, I'm an abnormality. Ain't no matter doubt it, I'm a